Good morning. Appreciate everybody coming out to be with us on this bright, sunny, beautiful winter day. It may be dreary outside, but the sun is shining in here, and I see it in your faces. And I trust that we've come together for no other reason than to serve the Lord today, Brother Dean, and that he'll be pleased. Today's service will be a little bit different, and that'll be quite all right because we'll have a baptismal service here for one that's joined the church in just a little bit. But to get started here, we will do number 13 in the gray book. Number 13.
Kids, I love them all, but the way the Lord loves me is even greater, and it's wonderful to be touched by the Lord. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church today. Got a lot of visitors with us today. As Brother Sam said, this is a special day. We're going to do things just a little bit different. than we usually do. We're going to be baptizing Sister Molly today. And we'll do that here in just a few minutes is what we do. I want to welcome all of our visitors to be here today. And thank you for coming out. One of the things that we always do as a church is on the day of baptism, we give an opportunity for members. And so today we're going to give you an opportunity to join the Lord's church today here at Murfreesboro. If the Lord is leading you to join this church today, I want you to follow the Lord first of all. He will not guide you wrong. He will not do that. And so if you'll follow the Lord and he wants you to be a member here at this church, we're going to give you an opportunity to tell us about when you were saved. See, we believe in believer's baptism is what we believe in. And what that means is we believe a person should not only believe it here, but believe it in their soul. You see, that soul has been touched by the Spirit of God in such a way that it just, we know we're saved. We know we're God's child. We know that we're going to heaven one of these days. And so what you can do is you're able to remember a time and place where you got saved. You may not know the very exact inch, but you can say, well, I was at my bed. Maybe I was here at the church or something like that. You can say, when I asked Molly, I said, where'd you get saved at? She said, back there. That was good, wasn't it? And she said, I think at that time it was 3 weeks ago. That's the way she said it. And so she said, I got saved 3 weeks ago right back there. And that's precious, ain't it? Well, any of us can tell that because we know that God touched our soul. So we will ask you your testimony. If you're prepared to be baptized today, we'll be glad to baptize you today here also with our service, in our service today. If not, we'll set another time in which that you can be baptized. Maybe you want your family. Like Molly's brought in a lot of her family in today, and I appreciate that so much of her family coming out. We also take members by letter or credit a letter. If you're a member of an old-fashioned missionary Baptist church like ours, you can join our church and come by letter if you have it with you. If not, we'll call it a credit letter and we'll send for it is what we'll do. And we also take them by restoration. If there's been a case in which that someone has been excluded from this body because of maybe sinful living or something they have done at times and the church has had to act upon that person, they can come back to the church and make their acknowledgments to the church. The church hearing what they say, they can come forward and be reinstated into the church today. So while we're going to have a verse of a song today, and while Brother Sam sings, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I'll be down here in front. If you'd like to join the church today, we'll ask you forward at this time in church. We'll hear what you have to say.
While we stand, number 228, 228.
Thank you.
seated at this time.
Be seated. Turn us around there, Miss Rachel. We'll sing that last verse. We'll continue to sing until they enter the pool behind me and somebody, are we ready? We won't sing.
This is a great privilege. I think this is the smallest one that I've ever baptized. And, this is a great privilege. By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I now baptize this, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What we'll do is we'll have the right hand of church fellowship with her after the preaching part of the service, if that's what the Lord wills. But you just go ahead and sing. Brother Sam, I think, is going to do preliminaries while we get prepared, back ready to be in front of you again. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Let's do one more quick song, number 83. appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We appreciate what we've witnessed. And I couldn't help but think of the book of 1 Kings when King Solomon made a contract with King Hiram, his neighbor, and called him his buddy. King Hiram was friends with Solomon's father, David. Solomon had been purposed to build the temple. And so Hiram and his kingdom had all kind of resources, all kind of timber and stone. And they prepared all that back in Hiram's kingdom, and they transported it by barge down to where they were building the temple. And the interesting thing about it was, it says that there was no sound of any tool, no sound of cutting, sawing, hammering, when they pulled those pieces off of that barge and put them together in that temple. It fit together just like a puzzle. You know, there was no more work that needed to be done on those pieces. And what a beautiful picture that is, because in the New Testament we find where Paul and Peter talked about, you know, the temple of God being fitly framed together, and all of us are built up as lively stones, a spiritual house. So there was no salvation that occurred in this, in the vat back here, in this vessel. You know, you don't get to the saving faith through water. That has to come beforehand. So she had told us about being saved, Brother James, beforehand, and we're thankful for that. So what a blessing it is to see that we are building up the temple of the Lord. Appreciate each one that's here and visitors. We're glad you're with us. And everyone just take part in the service, Brother Ricky will be out here in a little while if the Lord lead and preach. But we need to pray. And certainly there's many prayer requests in our bulletin, as you find, as you might have picked one up. I'll selfishly ask it that you lift up my mother. She has been really going downhill this week. It just seems like that it's hard to say how much longer that she has here. She asks daily, almost hourly, like, Lord, why do you spare me? And we're here to try to make her comfortable, and we just pray that the Lord does that. And she is ready to go. You hear her testimony. She was saved in September of 1947 over in Smith County. I believe that to be true. I'm glad that she told me about Jesus and took me to a place where I could hear about Jesus. So please pray for my mother and others in our family that are sick. Is there anybody else that might have a prayer request to be made known before we do pray? Anything? Okay. Oh. God help.
She is looking for somebody to go and actually stay with them when she has to go to surgery for about a week. God help anybody.
Bless. Lord help. Just remember this situation with the NAFs. And Brother James, I think you had a. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Just remember Brother James's family there. Someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bless. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, please pray for my son-in-law. He just will not go to church.
Bless.
Does not believe God. My daughter, we had a lot of problems back home now, and she's going to church and taking her daughter to church. And that's a blessing. But when you live with somebody who doesn't go to church, it pulls on you.
Yeah. Bless. Sister Johnson's request back there. We appreciate her making those known. Someone else. I won't worry your patience, but we'll give you time. If not, we'll call on someone to lead this prayer, and we want everybody to pray, but we'll ask one to start and lead the prayer. Brother Tom, would you pray for us, please, today? Bless. All right. For our last number, let's turn back over here. I know I got it marked somewhere. 140. I can tell you the time.
Thank you. Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Appreciate the good playing and the good singing from everyone today. I did mean to say something earlier when Brother Sam had y'all to just sing a cappella. That was very beautiful. It sounded good today all the way around, but that was very beautiful singing that you did during that time, and I thank you very much. It's good to have all the visitors with us today, and I ask that you pray for this service. If you know the Lord and free pardon of sin, I pray that you'll pray, but I also pray that you will follow God today. A man I talked with years ago said he went to a service and the pastor asked him not to hinder a service. And what he meant by that, he explained himself. He said, if the Lord put something on you to do, you follow the Lord. And I think that's very important in any God's services. I do have a thank you card here that I'm going to pass along. If anybody, if you missed out on this, we had a Valentine dinner last night here at the church for our couples. It was sponsored by the youth group, and I want to thank the youth group for everything that they did during this, but especially the kids. But this is from the youth group to everyone. It says, the youth committee would like to thank everyone that came last night. We enjoyed spending Valentine's Day with you. We especially want to tell our youth that served, remember this part, you have how proud we are of you. All of you did a wonderful job. Thank you, Brother Caden. He's not here. Michaela and Malachi and Catherine. Ashley and Allison. Are they here? No. Landon, will you stand up, please? And Thomas. And Cohen stood. Those three were... Our only three here. I reckon we wore them out last night. Is what we did. I want them to know we appreciate them very much. You see, the idea behind this service, y'all don't see it now. The idea of this service, of last night's meal and such, is to start training our young people not to think about themselves, to serve others. Yeah, they were serving tables, but they were serving others. And it was hopefully a good lesson for all of those that took part, from the very smallest up to the very tallest one. We'll say they did a great job in doing that. I want to thank the youth group for what they did. It was a lot of work that was involved with doing that. From everything we understood from everybody, they enjoyed the meal. They enjoyed everything that went on. And if you missed out, I'm sorry. You should have been here. And we just want to say maybe if we're able to do it again next year, maybe you can come next year and enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the meal, and enjoy whatever we come up with next year. It was a good thing, I think, for the church, for the kids, and such as that. Okay, anybody got anything on your heart at this time, a word of testimony or anything? I hurriedly got dressed, so I hope I'm dressed okay. So we're going to take our reading lesson today from the 57th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'll give you just a minute to turn there. I ask you to be prayerful. Pray that the Lord will help this message to go where it needs to go, and that it'll be what God needs it to be. I again want to thank Molly for joining the church. I want to thank her family for being here today. I remember how good that was for me to see my family members there when I was baptized into the Lord's church. And she's young. Maybe she won't remember it as well, maybe as some of us that got baptized later in life. But everything I've seen out of Molly is she's taking it all in. She's enjoying every bit of it. And she's telling people about being saved. And that's I want to commend her for that, and especially that she'll continue to do that, to tell others about being saved. I believe that she can lead others in her class, in her age group, and even maybe other family members to the Lord just by telling about being saved. And y'all pray for her, and that she'll be the member that God wants her to be. With that being said, as I said, we'll take a reading lesson today from Isaiah, the 57th chapter. We're going to read the 12th verse for our reading lesson today. And this is God speaking here. This is not just, Isaiah wrote it down, but this is God speaking to the people. And I want you to take it as if he's speaking to you today also. He says, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee, is what it says there. Now, if you'll notice especially that last phrase there, it says, they shall not profit thee. After the Lord has declared our righteousness that we have, and our works. We live in a day and age when many people today, they think, first of all, that maybe they can do something in order to get saved. Whether it's living a good life, that's good. I think we all ought to live a good life. Our nature has it in us that we would live a righteous life, to be as good as we possibly can. Remember, I said that's in our nature to try to live good and to try to do things right. I realize that we see a lot of people today that do not live right. They have evil thoughts in their minds. They have many things that are wrong, bad imaginations even that they have in this day. But they, as a general rule, I think even from the our smallest time, little children, they have an idea. They want to do right. They want to obey their parents. They want to obey their teachers. Maybe there comes a time in their lives where that they want to go away from that, but there is a time in their lives where that they want to do right. And when people start to realize that there is a God, then they want to try to please him. Now, the very first thought that comes to their minds, well, I'll try to do better. I'll try to live good. I remember talking with a lady years ago, and she talked about her life. She had lived with many men, is what she had said. She was a drug addict, is what she was, even at this very time. And she said there was a lady that came to her and spoke to her, and she said, I knew that I needed to straighten up my life, is what she said. And she said, by straightening up my life, I turned my life around. She said, I quit the drugs. I quit doing all the sinful things that it was. And not one word about a change that was on the inside. In other words, it was like the Lord was speaking here, I will declare unto you thy righteousness. In other words, he's going to show you just how righteous you are in your life today. He's going to show you just how good your works are today, is what he will do. If not today, it might be another time. Now, I want you, if you will, to go a few chapters over into chapter 64 of the book of Isaiah. And I've got a verse there that's going to talk about your righteousness. Remember now, the Lord is declaring or making apparent your righteousness, your goodness that you have. Maybe it's your good works that you have. God's going to declare all of these things, But now, here in the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah, what he says here in verse 6, and you hear me quote this verse ever so often, he says, "But we are all as unclean things." Now, what does that unclean mean? That means it's something that is dirty, something that is filthy, something that is not clean. Now, in the Israelite nation, they had certain things that they proclaimed as clean and unclean. Most of the times, it was foods that they ate. And it was meant to show them that there is a difference between good and that which was bad in their lives. Now, in their works, we all understand what is a good work, what we think is a good work. We may consider it helping the poor, maybe. Maybe it's helping somebody across the street. Maybe it's just opening a door for somebody. But we consider those to be good things in our eyes. But in God's eyes, let's look at what he says about our righteousness here. He says, and there is none that, verse 6, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, I want you to take into mind what he is saying about a filthy rag. I'll ask you a quick question here. How many of you has ever done something, maybe outside, we'll say, as a child, maybe you played in a mud puddle. Maybe you was, as children, maybe you made mud pies. I'm satisfied most of our kids today would not do that. But in my day, we played in the mud. We played in the dirt. And when we would go to the house, my mother would tell me, wash up. And there's a way of cleaning up in my mind at that time. And that was basically sticking my hands under the water, maybe rubbing just a little bit, and then drying my hands or my face on a towel. Now, what I usually saw out of that towel in that moment was that there was a lot of dirt wiped onto the towel, wasn't it? Maybe you could see actually the handprints, maybe even the print of my face on the towel at that time. How many of you have ever done something like that and it did not meet the approval of your mother? Now, what the other thing was, if you were sent back to wash up again, and you really cleaned up really good this time, did you want to use that towel that you'd gotten so dirty? Would you want to use it to clean up again? You just wipe more dirt back onto your face, onto your body, is what it would do. But when you look at it in that way, it was filthy. It was not fit for anything in that day. Now, this is what God is saying that our works are. They are as a filthy rag. Now, I'll ask you gentlemen here today, how many of you ever work on a car? You get your hands good and greasy. Maybe you got oil on your hands and you pick up a rag or something and you wipe your hands off on it and it gets really black and greasy. What do you do with that rag that you wipe with? You don't keep it to use again, do you? You'll probably take it and throw it away. You'll maybe even cast it into the fire, is maybe what many people do. But go back to our verse. He said, but we are all as unclean things, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You see, when we are unrighteous in God's eyes, when we have that unrighteousness that we have inside of us, That is the sin that comes through us, and that is before God. And as we learn in the scriptures, God does not like sin. Let me make this a little more clear. God hates sin. Now, I realize today we teach our children not to use the word hate, and they should never hate anyone. But there are certain acts that God looks at that he hates, and one of those things is sin, period. God hates sin is what he does. Now, let's go back to chapter 57 just for a few minutes here, and let's look at a few scriptures here, starting, remembering first of all, our 12th verse here, where it says, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. Remembering that our righteousness, our goodness, it's not going to profit us. So what does profit an individual that needs the salvation of God? What will profit them? Now, in verse 15, down there in chapter 57, he says, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. What are we talking about? Who are we talking about? The one that dwells in that place, that lofty one, that's God. That's God himself. He is the one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, meaning he is righteous, he is good, he's always good all the time. He said, this is God speaking, I dwell in the high and the holy place. In other words, not only is he holy, but the place where he lives is holy itself, meaning it's all righteousness, it's all goodness, and the greatness of God in that place. That's where he dwells, in that place. But now look at the remainder of this verse, because I want you to see what God expects of us when that our righteousness is going to be declared. I want you to see what God accepts out of this. He says, with him also that, in other words, these are the ones that are going to dwell with God Almighty. He says, with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. Now, let's look at this word humble. I'm going to come back to contrite in the last part of this verse. He says, a humble spirit. We live in a day when people tells you, be proud of yourself, don't we? We live in a day and age, and a lot of people calls it the me generation. I call it the I generation. And what I mean by that, it's more about what I can do, what I have done, and about what everybody else needs to bow down to me. That's basically what a lot of people have in their minds that they are going to do today. They're going to be I in this place. So what is a humble person? They are exactly opposite of that. That I is all about pride. Now, we do need to have a little bit of pride about ourselves in that we can clean ourselves up and look nice and do things right. There is a desire to have that kind of pride. But when the pride goes before us into a certain stage where that we begin to think ourselves higher than God, maybe even more righteous than God, we may even just have the idea we're a step below that, that my righteousness is something good. It's enough that I can be saved. You know, many people get very prideful about their heritage, their family, you might say. And I have to say, I'm proud of my family for what they left me and the way they taught me in years past. I'm proud of what they did in that way. But my mother and father's righteousness did not save me. My grandparents who believed in God and went to church, my grandfather was a deacon in the church, and he was a man of blessing, and my grandmother was a blessing in many ways, but they couldn't save me in that. Now, what we're talking about today is the kind of pride that God hates, and you'll find that in the 6th chapter of Proverbs if you want to go look at that. The kind of pride that God hates is the kind of pride that says, I will not bow. I will not submit myself unto God. Now, one of the things that the kids were learning last night was how to be submissive to the ones they were serving. They took a menu to them. They took their order for their salad, their dressing. They took their order for the food that they wanted and the drinks that they wanted and even the desserts that they wanted. And then they brought that to them. It was a lesson in being submissive in that way. So what was this humble spirit? This humble spirit is a spirit of humbleness towards God. That's what it is. You've got to submit yourself to God. In the book of James in the 4th chapter, it says, submit yourselves to God. That's what he's telling you to do. Submit yourselves to God. The Bible tells us in that same chapter, humble yourself before God. And in other words, what he's telling you to do is to bring yourself down. God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be here. Now, I want to call your attention to a man by the name of John the Baptist. And he was sent for a purpose to prepare the material for our Savior. But there came a day when they asked him for a witness of himself. And he told them, he said, there's one that's standing among you that you haven't recognized. In other words, first of all, but he said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not even worthy to bow down and unlace his shoes. Now, for servants in those days, that was the very bottom job, to take the master's shoes off. You might say, well, I would have thought he'd been working in the field. I'd have thought he'd been cooking or waiting on somebody. No, the very meaningless job there was that they bowed down. But I want you to notice what John said. He said, I'm not even worthy to reach down and touch his feet. That's humbleness. You see, what we're talking about today is the righteousness that you have compared to what you're going to need to enter into eternity, to go to heaven. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done. It's not how you cleaned yourself up. It's about you submitting yourselves to God is what it's about. Now, let's get the rest of the verse, and then I'll go somewhere else right quick, and we'll finish this up. But he says, to revive the spirit of the humble. This is what it's all about. Reviving you. Making you alive. You know that if you're a sinner, you're dead. Wait a minute, I'm not in the funeral home. I'm not in the grave. But your soul is dead. It's dead to God because you're a sinner. Because you've got the sin in your life. The sin, not the sin of lying. No, don't go that way, Dad. That's not good. I agree. It's not the sin of stealing. It's not even the sin of adultery. I've had people tell me, oh, that's the worst sin you could do was the sin of adultery. You want me to tell you what? The very worst sin there is, the Bible says there's a sin unto death, and it's a sin against the Holy Ghost. Do you realize today that the Holy Spirit is right now dealing with your soul through this message? You may not recognize it as that, but there's a little knocking in there that says, you need to come to me, not to the preacher, to God. You need to come to me. You need to humble yourself before me, God. You need to do that right now. And what he wants to do, he wants to make you alive. He wants you to be alive to him is what he's wanting you to do. Now listen, he said, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. I said I was going to come back to that. You know what that means? That means crushed. Crushed? You mean I took a hold of something big and it mashed me down? Maybe it broke my legs? No. Your soul has got to get to a place where it's not able. Michaela's been telling me about Miss Mona's surgery. You probably didn't know she's got a walking boot on. She had surgery the other day. Bless the Lord, she's here today. Thank God she's able to be out. But they worked on that foot, and Michaela says, I've been taking care of her. I've been doing these things for her. I'm helping her. Bless your heart, Michaela. I thank you for doing that. But there comes a time spiritually when you realized that your righteousness is nothing. That's what he's doing up here. He says, I will declare your righteousness. When I was a sinner, there came a time when I realized I was that sinner. I had thought, because I was a pretty good kid, surely the Lord would save me. I thought because mother and daddy went to church, I'd get saved. Because I thought surely the Lord saved me because my brother was already there. It wasn't about my brother. It wasn't about my mother and daddy. It wasn't even about me. It was about me realizing I was a sinner. When I finally got to that place, I got crushed. When I realized God was saving people right next to me and I wasn't saved, oh, I was crushed by that. I had thought I'd get up and go out of the house and I'd just give up and I wouldn't do it no more. But when he said I got saved, that boy next to me said I just got saved. Whew, that got to my soul is what it did. And when it got into my soul that way, I was crushed in that way. And it came time to call on God. It's about reviving your soul. Go with me, if you will, over to the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter is where I'm going. I'll finish up here in just a few minutes. I hope not to worry your patience anymore. I want you to look at verse 25. And it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, who he's talking about here is Jesus Christ himself. And that word propitiation means to satisfy the Creator. Who's the Creator? God Almighty. God the Father. You see, God is angry about your sin. He's angry at the fact that you might be trying to get over to him by your righteousness. Remember, he's showing you your righteousness now. He's showing you just how good your good works are. You see, Jesus came into this world to satisfy God on your behalf. On your behalf. He came here to satisfy the anger of God for your sin. Remember, I told you God hates sin. You ever seen somebody do you so wrong? They done so much wrong, you got angry about it. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Every emotion that we have, you realize God has it too. Yeah, he gets jealous just like you do. That's the one we talked about. He gets angry just like we do. He gets happy just like we do. He has love better than we do. I'm going to say this. I want to tell you every one of his emotions are perfect. But he has that anger toward our sin. And when we come to that place where that we have gotten to the place where we're humbling ourselves and we're just so crushed because we can't do it ourselves. He says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, meaning to satisfy God's anger through faith in his blood. You're putting your faith in Jesus' blood. You're not putting it in mom and daddy. You're not putting it even in your grandparents. You're not putting it in anybody's faith. You're putting faith in the blood of Jesus Christ is what he says. To declare his, Jesus' righteousness. Jesus lived perfect when we couldn't live perfect. No man ever could. Jesus lived perfect, never a sin. You know, he was tempted in all points just like we are. He suffered every temptation that you've ever had. Oh, they didn't have the same things that we do now. You know what? They had the same thing in emphasis. They're the same. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said there's nothing new under the sun. You mean they had heroin back then? Yeah, they actually did. You mean they had drugs back then? Yes, they did. Did they have alcohol back then? Yes, they did. Did they have adultery back then? Go back and look, see how many wives Solomon had. Yeah, they did. He said there's nothing new under the sun. We come to a place where we declare the righteousness of God. I'm going to use Molly again. I'd heard that she was crying back there that day and said that she might be sick. When they came out, I asked Tracy. She said, Molly, come here and tell me what she said. What happened? Now, her words was to me, I think I got saved. Now, think is not enough, is it, Molly? You got to know that you're saved. I told her, I said, okay, that's good. But I want you to pray about it. I want you to know for sure. I called Tracy later that night, and I've told this time or two, but I called Tracy that night. She said, it's just like you turned a switch on when we got to the restaurant. She was telling everybody, I got saved. You know what she was telling? She was declaring the righteousness of God saving her soul. And listen to what he says here. He said in the 26th verse, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, it's all about whether or not you believe Jesus. That he was righteous. What Paul said about Abraham, and you can go back to Genesis 2. Paul said it this way. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, what that word accounted means to, it wasn't Abraham's righteousness. But God's righteousness was extended to Abraham. You know, that's what happened to me when I got saved. If you've been saved, God's righteousness was accounted. It was put in me. It cleaned up my soul. It made me pure within. Are you pure within today? Brother Sam, get ready. Are you pure within? Has God's righteousness been put in? Are you still trying to declare your own righteousness? Are you trying to do that? Now, we've talked about our righteousness. It's like a dirty rag. It's not good for anything. It's only fit to be burned, truthfully. Put your trust in Jesus today. While we stand and sing, if you're here today and you're a sinner in the sight of God, it's time that you trust in him now. Don't put it off another day. You might not make it home on these wet, slick roads. You might not even make it out of the house. I've heard of people starting out of the church, having a heart attack, dying. Oh, yeah, it happens in church. Heard about a man not too long ago. He was sitting on the front pew. All of a sudden, he was enjoying the service, but all of a sudden, he just fell out on the floor. Gone. Could you be one of those? You've heard me talk about it. It don't matter if you're old or young. It's coming. You better get ready before it's too late. Brother Sam, while we sing, all rise. We'll be. Let us sing. You seek God today. That's what these benches are for today.
285.
Come and pray.
285.